Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, October 18th, 2021. To begin with, please note that this meeting is being recorded. As usual, the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmat.com. Just a few helpful tips for people joining via phone call. You can press star 6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can raise virtual hands by pressing star 9, and star 9 will also lower your virtual hands. Everyone joining via video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute and or unmute yourself. And to raise your virtual hands, you can click on the hand icon under reactions. That will help us knowing that you have that you would like to make some comments. Everyone is on the mute at this point, so you know how to unmute yourself.
Also, you may want to explain about how we're going to do comments.
Sure. So, would you like to do that, Chair Summerford, or?
I'll let you go ahead, Nim.
Okay. So, as discussed in the AAC meeting this month, the public comments will be during the public comment period. Everyone will be allowed 3 minutes, and there would be a buzzer sound at the end of 3 minutes. Everyone will receive a 30-second warning, lack of a better word, just to alert you that you have 30 seconds remaining, and that during the relevant topics, AAC members would be able to make their comments with 3 minutes and same process. And as you know that we do have interpreters on this call, as usual, I would request everyone to make state your names before you make your comments. This helps them knowing who's the speaker at the moment. At this point, Chair Summerford, I would ask if you would like me to go ahead and read the meeting agenda for today.
Sure, please go ahead.
Okay, so what I would do is, for the convenience of all the members who can visibly see the agenda, I would share my screen. And afterwards, I would be reading the agenda out loud. So if you would bear with me for a quick second, I would share my screen. And please let me know if my screen is visible at this point. It is?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So we will go ahead and take the roll call of our AAC members after I finish reading the agenda. Afterwards, Chair Summerford will have a review of the agenda and last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we will have the customer service report and if there's any outreach report, followed by Michael Wilson Award and the Rush Award. At 4:30, we will have a new topic, which is AAC Metro Access Safety Award. At 4:35, we will have a committee discussion about Metro Access 10 minutes pre-arrival call discontinued. At 5 p.m., the next topic is by Metro Access GPS system update, and that will be provided by Tarian Williams Hall. At 5:10, Antoine Johnson will give us information about Metro Access eligibility process, including application process, review the denial, rationality on the eligibility. At 5:30, we will have the public comment period and meeting will adjourn at 6 p.m. At this point, I would stop sharing my screen. I would make my announcement about public comments during the public comment period. At this time, I would ask Chair Summerford to move the meeting forward. Chair Summerford, you have the floor.
Oh, did you do attendance yet?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the reminder. All the AAC members who are present, please confirm by either saying yes or however you'd like. Today's roster is as follows: Elver Ariza Silva, Darnese Bush, Tino Calabia, Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy. I think I saw Rico on the call. Deborah Fisher. Marcy Goldstein. Melanie Henderson.
Present.
Thank you. Steve Kaplan. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Anthony Oberg.
I think Thomas answered also.
Okay, thank you, I hadn't heard.
Okay.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray.
Present.
Thank you. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Samford.
Present.
Patrick Sheehan. And Kelly Simonon. All right, that concludes our roster. At this time, Chair Samford, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward.
Thank you so much. Welcome, everybody. First, we're going to do our review of agenda and minutes from the prior meeting. This is a fully correct agenda. Is there any additions to this agenda?
This is
could I ask a point? Could I ask a point of privilege?
Go ahead quickly, Doris. Very quickly, because we need to get to this agenda here.
Right, right. It's somewhat related to the agenda, if I might.
Go ahead quickly, Doris. We have to get to this agenda here, please.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to ask was, the announcement by Anu about the time and calling time, was that meant for public comment or was it meant for us? And whether it's either or both, I was wondering what sign will you make when you call, 40 seconds more, you know?
Okay.
In other words, how are you going to do it verbally? Is there a tone? This is because I have a hearing impairment. That's why I called it a point of privilege. And I just want to know what I'm listening for.
Chair Samford, I can answer that. This is Anu. This is the sound I can play, and I'm hoping you could hear it. Oops. One second.
Did you do the sound?
Give me one sec. Give me one second, please.
Mm-hmm.
Was that?
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. All right, going back to the review of the agenda, are there any additions at this time? If not, can someone move the agenda as is?
This is Ms. Rush. We need to notify people about the Hessinger Award that it has to be in by today, I think, if you have anybody to nominate.
Okay. We'll squeeze that in to chat about that. Thank you. Anything else? Can I get a motion to move the agenda with the minor exception that was added in? Hearing that, unless there's opposition, I would like to move this agenda with the addition that Ms. Russ made about Pedro announcement. All right, there's no opposition. The agenda is moved with just a minor addition to that. Next is the minutes from the prior meeting. Are there any additions, corrections to the minutes? Hearing the crickets, I say by acclamation, unless there's opposition, that we move the minutes from last month as is. All right, so they're accepted. Next is customer service and outreach reports.
Good afternoon. This is Allison Anderson with Max. At this time, I'd like to present Kay Clark with MTM to give the report from our last session as it relates to public comment.
Good afternoon and thank you, Allison. There were no outstanding public comments to be addressed from either committee meetings during the month of September. Nevertheless, I do have the commendations to report from the month of September. Metro Act has received a total of 224 positive feedbacks, and the breakdown for a company is as follows. First Transit had 28, TransDev had 50, MV had 39, Challenger had 27, Diamond had 75, MTM had 1, Eligibility had 1, and Ability to Ride had 3. And this concludes my report for today. Thank you.
Thank you. Any outreach reports?
Right now, during this time, we do not have any specific outreach that we're conducting. However, we continue to receive any and all calls and follow-up from ADAP insofar as any contact of customer concerns, and we definitely do follow up on those.
Thank you so much. Michael Wilson Awards for both months of last month and for this month.
Yes, so first off, we have a Michael Wilson Award recipient from the September meeting that we didn't get a chance to get to, that I'm happy to present, Pierre Matabaro from Challenger, to make that presentation.
Good afternoon, everyone. As Allison just stated, my name is Pierre Matabaro, and I'm the project manager for Challenger. And Challenger is chosen driver John Sun Lee. The driver has been with the company since the beginning of the contract. And I believe I saw him joining the meeting. He's been with us since the beginning of the contract, and he's been just an excellent, excellent driver. He doesn't have no issue as far as safety-wise. For the past 3 years now, no accidents, no incidents, no complaint as far as from the customer regarding the employee. And I mean, his attendance is just excellent. With the COVID day that he ever called out. So he's just been a wonderful employee. He's here. I mean, everybody love him. All my dispatch, my manager. I don't even remember the last time I saw him or I see anyone complain about him. So he's just been an excellent driver. And on a personal note, Mr. Lee is a married man. He's married to a loving wife. Her name is Olga. They have two wonderful children. One is 18 and one is 9. And Mr. Lee loves bike riding with his wife. And he loves watching movies and reading book. One of his favorite movie actually is Coming Back to America. So, I miss Mr. Lee, I believe is there. I don't know if you want to say something. I mean, we present a little trophy, a little something to him, on the last meetings. We couldn't do it. I mean, on this one, we did already. So I'm going to let him say something, if he has something to say, but he's just a wonderful person. Mr. Lee, I don't know if you're there. If you want to say something, come on, go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so very much for allowing us to allow me to join this meeting. It has been a privilege to Challenger is Mr. Access Operator. And I come to work, I have a positive and I drive and I enjoy talking to people and I enjoy speaking English. I originally come from South Korea, so my every day is Friday. I mean, I work for my great customers, and I love my co-workers, I love my company, and everything is so nice, so nice, and you know, it's just all of the day of war is just so fast. So I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to join you and present myself to you. And thank you for this in better reward. I think I was able to receive this reward everything that is related to my company. And I thank everybody, and I thank you for this great opportunity once again. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. I'm not sure if we're able to hear really Mr. Lee. It seemed like the audio, there was something. I don't know if everybody was able to hear Mr. Lee.
Yes. Yeah, it was a little bit distorted, but we definitely want to congratulate Mr. Lee for the award and the service that he provides each and every day. It's very, very important. That we honor drivers such as Mr. Lee. So again, congratulations. So we also have an award winner for October, and that person will be recognized by Mr. Robbie Worth, project manager with Diamond Transportation.
Thank you, Allison. I think we're getting feedback.
So could everyone put their mics on mute if you're not speaking, please? Thank you.
Okay, so I would like to congratulate Metro Access operator Dong Lim for being the winner of the award this week, the Michael Wilson Award. Dong began his career with Diamond National Express CSC 7040 in July of 2017. Mr. Lin strives to deliver professional excellence in every aspect of the service he provides to our customers. He has shown his willingness to help others whenever the need arises. He demonstrates a positive attitude along with a high level of professionalism. An example of this is Mr. Lim's outstanding on-time performance for this last year, 12-month rolling period. He had an on-time performance of 97.6% with 1,666 trips completed. He also has had zero preventable accidents during his tenure with Diamond National Express. That's something he should be very proud of. On a personal note, Mr. Lim is originally from South Korea. He moved to the United States 41 years ago. He loves driving for Metro Access because it allows him to serve people in the ADA community. When he's not working, he serves as a church elder for the Korean Central Presbyterian Church of Fairfax. Mr. Lim is a Christian who loves reading the Bible, attending and facilitating church services. His favorite sports teams are the Washington football team and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Mr. Lim should be having a good time right now because the Dodgers are in the World Series. His favorite foods are kimchi and bulgogi. He has been married for 42 years, and he has two sons and four grandchildren. I'd now like to introduce Angel Randall. Angel, is Mr. Lim with you?
Actually, Mr. Lim has logged on.
Okay.
Mr. Lim, if you would like to unmute and say a couple words.
Okay, right here. Hello, do you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm here. Thank you very much. Good to see you. Yeah, first one is I cracked my wed. Married is 41 years now, not 14.
40, did I say 14?
Yeah.
It's hard to have four grandchildren with only 14 years, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. So right now is a I'm very happy, you know, you give the big award for me. So really appreciate it. I like driving for Diamond Transportation since 11 years now. It's from starting MB, Metro Access, to today. Exactly is 11 years old that I'm driving. So I really, you know, enjoy and, you know, serving to customer, meet every day different customer or some elderly people, I'm help them, the weak people, you know, some disabled people, many, many kind, different kind of customer I service. I'm really, you know, the help them. So I'm really, my heart is from, you know, serving them. I'm, very, very, myself is, joy, you know, pleasure God to give to me is a compassion, you know, the mind. So really I have a fashion of mind. So I like to really enjoy the Diamond, you know, the transportation, Metro Access job. And I like to all my company, you know, the all driver and you know, office people, I like them. They give to me, you know, a good the attitude or something like that. So I like them. So everything, I'm happy. So that's why, yes, always I'm try my best. Yeah, to I'm never absent, you know, every day attend on my schedule. Yeah, I try my best. Thank you for me. Appreciate it. give to me the good award.
Yeah, so I would like to correct that, Mr. Lim. So Mr. Lim was originally worked for MV Transportation when they were doing the direct service delivery. Right. And then when Diamond took over the Virginia part of that contract in 2013-2014, he was one of the people that I was introduced right. to originally, and then he came over to work for Diamond. So you have been, I think it's going on 12 years actually, have been with the company, and you are 100% right. You're there every single day. You come, you do your job. You always have a smile on your face. You greet everybody pleasantly, and you're just a real attribute, not only company, but the service, and also the entire community that you represent. So thank you so much, Mr. Lim.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you very much.
So that concludes our two Michael Wilson Award recipients. I think, Anu, I think I see someone's hand is up. I'll let you take over from here.
Thank you, Allison. The person whose hand is up is LG Stylo 6. Are you trying to make some public comments? You're on mute. You will have to mute. You'll have to click on the speaker to unmute yourself.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Are you trying to make some public comments?
Yes.
Okay. So we have the public comment section a little later. I will definitely have you on the list.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. And I see we have a AAC Metro Access Safety Award. Who's presenting there?
Chair Samaport, that would be Taryn Williams Hall. Ms. Williams Hall, go ahead.
Thank you. So we would like to share a new opportunity with the subcommittee to recognize our vehicle operators for their daily provision of safe metro access service. We're seeking your approval for a new safety award called the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. We look to celebrate operators whose performance is normally safety focused, and in so doing, we hope to further cultivate a safety culture. So awardees will be Metro Access operators that are selected by their employer for either exceptional safety achievement, like preventing an accident or an injury, going above and beyond required performance, or sustained exemplary safety performance, like no preventable accidents within a year, a month or longer without a scorable drive cam event or unsafe behavior, 3 months or longer without a valid safety-related complaint, perfect attendance for the past 30 days, and current on all safety-related training and meeting all other performance requirements. So as with the Michael Wilson Award, the operator's employer will select the awardee and arrange for the recipient to be in attendance at the meeting where they'll be presented with a certificate. The responsible contractor for a given month would be identified in a schedule that would align with the Michael Wilson Award schedule as much as possible. So with that, we hope to begin this award in November at the November 15th Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. So now I will take questions from the subcommittee.
Unless there's any objection, I am okay with that. Committee members?
Alert. Audio now unmuted. Leaving menus.
I'm nominating someone, but it's not in my preview. So what I did was for some service.
Vanessa, did you have a question related to this?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
I was saying I had attempted to nominate someone, but they're not in my preview. They're with one of the companies. So I call customer service and I requested. So I don't know if the name was submitted.
Okay. So just so I'm clear, Ms. Cole, are you talking about for this award or just to nominate them for an award in general?
For the header.
Oh, okay. So that's a different
thing. Yeah, that's different. We're going to discuss that later.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
All right.
Well, maybe this might be the better audience. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we're going to discuss that later because we have a full agenda here. Thank you. So anyone else, questions for Ms. Williams, Paul, in terms of doing this moving forward in November? If I don't hear from anyone else, can we vote by acclamation to add this as part of the agenda?
Has Alda, alert, audio now unmuted.
I would nominate that we add this in November.
All right, hearing the crickets, I guess we'll move to go ahead and do this.
Chair Samuelford, this is Anu. Doris has her hand up.
All right, Doris, go ahead.
So I just wondered, for informational purposes, whether this is going to be a monthly award or whether it's going to be staggered at a different frequency from the regular Michael Wilson Award.
So our recommendation to the AAC subcommittee meeting is that it is monthly and the frequency aligns with the Michael Wilson Award.
Okay, I have no objection to that. I was just clarifying. So do we need to say, make any kind of motion, Mr. Chair? Because if so, I do move that we accept this new award category.
That's what I said before, if there's any objection, we only had a comment from you, hearing the crickets, that we move to go ahead and do this unless there's an objection. There are no objections, it's done. All right. Thank you so much, everybody.
Chair Samuelford, this is me. Thomas Mangrum has his hand up.
Yes, this is Thomas. I have my hand up because I was wondering, did anybody talk about, is we going to talk about Metro Access changing to share ride back again on the 1st of next month? Because
we can have that discussion. That's not a problem.
Uh-huh. So all what right. Do y'all come up with?
We're gonna discuss that later.
We're gonna discuss that later.
Yeah.
Today?
Yes, part of this agenda. Yes.
Okay.
Since you brought it up, I can definitely add it to the agenda. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Ms. Williams-Hall. And without further ado, let's delve into our agenda here. The first topic is the 10-minute career arrival call, whether or not we want to, I guess, make it go away. Mr. Blake, I guess you can help facilitate this. One thing I will say is one of the people who have been experimenting with this, at the beginning, it was pretty good and pretty reliable. You know, almost, 90% of the time, but then there have been times where, like anything had its quirks, but they just kept persisting. Like for instance, you would get an arrival call when there's no trip at all in the middle of the night past midnight. There's been times where you get the pre-arrival call and it's right before the beginning of your window, you're like, oh, I'm outside, but now it doesn't, vehicle doesn't show up until after the window or at the end of the window, at the end of the 30 minutes or well past that. And then there's been times more like this summer where I, at weeks at a time, I did not get a pre-arrival call at all. And I've had trips for the day. So with that, Mr. Blake, you want to lead into this?
Well, yes, I think you summarized it very well. So I don't know if there's much more discussion. It was an experiment we tried. The technical challenges seemed to overwhelm the benefits that we were trying to provide to customers on something I thought would benefit thousands of customers. Turned out to be a pilot that never really went beyond, I think, 84. So we're at a stage now where we've got some other plans moving forward. And we're, as a Metro Access management team, are prepared to put an end to this particular experiment or pilot, if you will. But we wanted to just get the customer feedback. And again, there's only 84 customers out of all who are using them. One just happens to be yourself. And we're saying, unless somebody out there feels that it's, despite some hiccups, it's actually very good and we wouldn't want to lose it, Metro Access Management is saying at this point, we're going to put an end to it and prepare for a future effort at advising customers as to when their vehicles are going to be arriving and give them a better information. So if there are no objections from the committee or from the public on ending this experiment and this pilot for now, we were just going to move ahead and begin to unwind that process.
All right, anyone from the committee? All right, hearing nobody. Any comments or objections to this topic? I guess you're going to start that process, Mr. Blake.
Yes, sir. So we'll begin to wind that down. You'll be getting no more of the pre-arrival calls for now. And as we move in a different direction, I'm quite sure this feature will be returning, but we want to make it return when the technology works and the accuracy is there as well. So thank you for experimenting. Thank you for trying it. We learned some lessons and we'll apply those lessons learned to future efforts.
All right, so hold on there, Mr. Blake, while I still have you. Put your picture back up. While I still have you here, yes. Mr. Mangrum has helped me suggest an item about the return of share rights November 1st.
Yes.
So I want to address it down now since I have you on, on the call here. I'm presuming where the science is leading right now, you can probably explain your rationale and the trend for this, and what will it take if y'all decide to go the other opposite way, or what type of factors?
Right, at this point, we're about, 13 days away from November 1st, or 14 days. And at this point in time, we're still on pace to go ahead and move forward with returning to shared ride service on Metro Access. And that will mean no more than 3 passengers on board a van at any given time. Metro Access is a shared ride public transportation service, just like bus and rail are shared ride public transportation services. The region is opening up. Schools are back in play largely. As we talked about in the prior meeting, movies, groceries, football stadiums, libraries, and people with disabilities are taking advantage of all of these places, and public transportation is really no different. And actually, when you look around the country, New York, Chicago, our beloved New York, I should say, New York, Chicago, Baltimore, just about every other public transit agency has gone back to shared ride service on their paratransit. Metro, through our planning and being very cautious, we're literally one of the last ones to go back to shared rides. And unless there is some massive outbreak or government shutdown or something that significant, then yes, on November 1st, Metro Access is returning to shared ride service. I'm here answering.
And to be clear, the provisions of this modified shared rides is the fact that there's 3 people total. The fact that if there is a person who, for some medical or documented reason, cannot wear a mask, they will not be riding along. They'll be riding alone still, and then people riding in the sedans will still riding alone.
Correct. That is the start of the. That is our return to shared rides. Yes, that's how we're doing it to begin with.
My thing is this. Mm-hmm. I know it was always meant to be a share ride or a heavy service, but I thought that y'all were gonna like keep it like it is now until the mayor lifts the 6 feet you know, distance from each other, because like there's no way we're gonna be able to have that distance from each other on Metro Access that's comfortable enough and also keep us from getting sick, because like not everybody had a vaccine shot yet. So that's gonna be putting us at risk. It's already putting us at risk a little bit, because like you get people on the ride who slob and whatnot, and they be slobbing on the belts and stuff like that. Although y'all don't have the drivers cleaning the van after each ride, some of the drivers took it upon themselves to do it themselves because they don't want to get sick and they don't want nobody else to get sick. So what's we going to do about making sure they don't get sick? Because you talk about people going back to school and whatnot, which is true. But there's more and more children that get sick going back to school now than it was before. So they is coming down with illness and whatnot. So if we go back to the shared ride thing too soon, you know, how many of us do you think are going to get sick, or are you not thinking that any of us going to get sick?
Well, we're going to enforce the mask mandate. We're going to continue to keep customers who are either suspected or confirmed to have COVID-19 off the system. Our drivers are required to either be vaccinated or test regularly. And no, to your first point, though, we never tied the return to shared ride to any government mandate, particularly the mayor of DC, 6 feet distance. What we have said is that we will look at the region, and the mayor of DC and the leaders of other areas in this region have said that practicing safe practices, you know, engaging in safe practices, protecting oneself, that we are getting back to normal. And when you say return too soon, you know, again, people on bus have been sitting next to each other on the buses for several months now. People on the trains have been sitting next to each other on the buses, on the trains. Stadiums, ball games, movies, shopping, we're getting back to normal, and Metro Access as a paratransit public transportation service can't be any different.
Okay, but like when you say that you're going to stop people if you expect them of having COVID, how are you going to know who has it and who don't?
Well, the customers self-report. I mean, that's what we've been doing since the start of the pandemic. We've moved, I don't have the number on me, but I know it's been hundreds, if not thousands, of trips that otherwise would have been on Metro Access. And we placed them on a third-party service away from the paratransit, away from our drivers, away from the customers who would have followed them in the vehicle. So it's a matter, and we're still emphasizing the customers, if you're sick or not feeling well, you shouldn't use public transportation anyway. But you mentioned vaccinations. I got to remind folks, the ADA does not allow us to prohibit somebody from being transported simply because they do not have a vaccination. Mm-hmm. We may get to that point. I don't know. I don't have control over that. But at this point, we cannot deny somebody transportation based on their vaccination status. And I would always advise, regardless of the vaccination status of the person next to you, you should wear your mask, carry your own hand sanitizer, and protect yourself and not rely on somebody else to protect you.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything set up so if somebody do get sick, they get compensated a little bit? If it's been proven that they got sick on Metro Access ride because of the share ride?
Do we have something set up to prove that they got sick on Metro Access?
No. If they get set up, they get sick on Metro Access ride because somebody that had COVID was riding on the ride, and not everybody going to tell you whether or not they have it or not. Right. So do you have
anybody? Well, the way we do that, if somebody
gets compensation for us.
Well, we don't talk compensation here. That would be between you, your lawyers, and our lawyers. I would tell you this, the way we do something, if, you know, God, let's say I was on there. I would use myself as an example. I was on the Metro Access van taking a mystery ride, and I come down with COVID-19. What we've been doing is what we call contact tracing. Was I on the van with another passenger? We inform that passenger and ask that passenger, do they have any symptoms? And then we talk to the driver. So we do engage in contact tracing. How you would prove that your COVID, or how would I prove that my COVID came from the Metro Access van versus my night at the nightclub or a casino the night before? I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. But no, what we're doing is engaging in safe practices. We want ventilation coming through the vehicles. We're going to keep, again, a minimum to start with, a maximum of three passengers, one person in that front seat or the wheelchair space, another person off to the right side in the window, and then a third person in the back seat at the maximum. And so we will, we believe that we're moving cautiously. And again, we're one of the last agencies to actually go back to shared ride. We think we've been very cautious. We planned this out, and we didn't want to rush this. And I think Mr. Semaphore can concur that our beloved brothers and sisters in New York went back to shared rides nearly 2 months ago now. And again, we're trying to just make sure that we are taking your concerns and that those are the drivers into consideration, but still maintain that we are a public transportation shared ride service.
Okay, thank you.
So I want to let everyone know that, we're only taking comments from committee members. And if you have a comment about this, please save it as part of your comments for public comment. So this is only, we're going to go to a topic of agendas. We're entertaining only from committee members, and you can make that point during your public comment period if you're not a committee member. Thank you. So next, I see Vanessa and then Doris.
Yes.
And Manu, make sure that you add LT stuff that you already have in Bill Orleans public comment period.
Audio now
ended.
I happen. Thank you.
So
Vanessa.
So I have two concerns. To be considered. So my concern is for those that are on dialysis to be considered, you know, to see maybe perhaps they be considered when considering shared ride, because they are our most vulnerable consumers. And also the ones that are riding in the sedan. So that consideration would be considered as far as doing up to three passengers in that as well.
Okay, two good points. Let's start with the second one, because the second one is easier. Right now in the sedans, there's going to be only one passenger at a time. So that's in the sedans, only one passenger at a time. And then we'll increase that number first, and then we're going to increase the capacity on the van. On the second piece about the dialysis patients or customers, we are not allowed to prioritize trip purpose or make accommodations for one group of customers over another. Under Metro Access Paratransit, all customers are treated equally, and therefore all customers have to be held to the same rules, if you will. I can't make special rules for one group of customers versus another.
Thank you, Doris.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was on you muted. Okay, just a couple of short questions. One is that if it's a maximum of three people in the vehicle, what is that going to mean if one person has a personal assistant with them, does that mean that only a single patron that doesn't have a personal assistant can be in the vehicle with that one other patron who has a personal assistant? Or are you going to expand it to mean to allow, if they're going in the same direction, to allow two people and two personal assistants to be in the vehicle?
No, it's the first one. It's the first one.
And then
it's a maximum of three people, three passengers. So that means either three individuals or one or two individual customers and a PCA, or one customer and two companions. It's a maximum of
No. What I'm asking is, at the minimum, shouldn't you make that maximum four, just in case there might be two people riding with each having a personal assistant?
At this time, as we phase this in, we want to keep the passenger capacity at a maximum of three.
Okay. So I'm hearing that. So that means you would have to do some extra checking when the manifest is being created. That's why I wanted to ask that question. The second is, with regard to are you going to be providing, I just want to clarify this, are you going to be providing reasonable accommodation so that a person who has, for example, a disability that includes an autoimmune disorder that might be more susceptible, or whatever, some condition that might be more susceptible to catching COVID, are you going to allow them to, as a reasonable accommodation, to request to ride by themselves with their party, perhaps, but not with another person? You know, somebody that could is classified as those who are more susceptible.
Get the other bag. Okay, so the answer to you, that's a good question.
Get the other bag.
Okay, so anyone has a right to submit a reasonable accommodation request. We're not going to negotiate as to what accommodations will or will not be granted. We take them all at one on a case by case basis. But I can assure you that one has to be a very strong doctor's case being made, a medical case being made. And two, if you've been riding in shared ride service previously, this situation, given that the region is opening up, because we're not taking a person from home to home, generally speaking. I mean, we're not taking them, you know, just around the corner back to their home. They're going somewhere. So the risk of these type of challenges do not just appear on Metro Access, they appear throughout society. And again, Metro Access is taking precautions to protect the customers and the drivers. So everyone has a right to submit a reasonable accommodation request, but the likelihood that we're going to be granting wholesale numbers of reasonable accommodations, particularly for customers who've been traveling previously as a shared ride, is not tremendous. But again, we take every case on a case by case basis.
Chair Samakor, this is Zanu. Yeah. I see Vanessa has her hand up again. So does
I think she left that up from the last question.
All right, thank you so much.
This is Vanessa.
She has another question. Sorry.
Yes, because just sort of piggybacking off of what Ms. Doris was saying, what kind of action would you have for those consumers who just automatically say they have a PCA, but they don't? Or maybe the PCA canceled, but they scheduled to accommodate the PCA.
Yeah, that's a good point. And this has been a challenge we've had even prior to the pandemic. A customer will book a trip and say they're traveling with four people as a way to guarantee themselves a trip by themselves. And then when we arrive, it's only the passenger by him or herself. What I've instituted, again, prior to the pandemic, is that whenever a customer is traveling with a capacity less than what they actually booked, i.e., they don't have a PCA with them, i.e., they don't have a PCA and a companion with them, the driver is required to report that information to the call center, and the call center then updates the computer, and the computer or an individual can add a trip along the destination to that customer's, along the way to that customer's destination.
All right, thank you.
And also, just so we know, just so we're clear, any customer who's found to abuse this practice, and you know, some people say, oh, I thought my PCA was coming, but they changed their mind. I thought my children were coming, but they changed their mind. If we find a pattern of this, that customer can be subject to a suspension of their service under the abusive behavior policy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chair Zamenford, Thomas has his hand up. Go ahead.
All right, Thomas, go ahead. We do have to go through two more topics.
Yes, I have an idea on when it comes to people with dialysis and stuff. I know you said that Metro Access don't give special privileges to people, what have you, because of shared ride. But what I was thinking though, since Transport DC is cutting their service down on rides and stuff, for people that have to use dialysis and they have to use a wheelchair to get back and forth, could they get more rides so they'd be able to go by cab and don't have to worry about being vulnerable and catching COVID-19? Because like, for instance, some people that get sick, depending on their illness and stuff, they're not able to get the COVID vaccine. They're not able to do that. I had a relative who died because he wasn't able to get the COVID vaccine. So that person is on dialysis and got all the medical ailments and stuff like that. Can something be worked out with Transport DC to make sure that they get their rides by themselves as much as possible within a month's time? Because they get 10 trips, but like five round trips can take up to 10 trips. So what can we do about that? I thought I brought that up as an idea.
Okay, and that's fair. And now Transport DC is only available to DC residents. It's my understanding that the 10-trip limit does not apply to dialysis trips, if my understanding is correct. But any provisions within the Transport DC program really has to be raised with the District of Columbia's Department of For Hire Vehicles. But if I'm not mistaken, I don't believe the 10-trip limit applies to dialysis trips.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you for this discussion. We do have to move on. Next will be about the GPS update. Ms. Williams-Hall.
Okay, good afternoon again, everyone. With regard to the GPS systems, as most of you know, over the past year, we've tested a few different GPS solutions. First, we tested tablets that utilize the Waze application. And although the feedback was predominantly positive, the cost to outfit all of our vehicles was prohibitive with the tablets. So then we piloted a Garmin device with high definition satellite signals. This device is portable, does not require any wireless service, and has received phenomenal feedback from our drivers. To that end, we're now in the process of procuring the selected Garmin device for installation in our entire fleet over the next several months. So with that, I will take any questions.
So my question, Ms. Williams-Hall, because I've sat in with drivers over the summer, that had both devices, and they gave their feedback. I did like the one with Waze because the pure fact that if you had on the manifest the name of a location, it was better at geocoding and getting you from wherever the regular GPS ranger ends and getting you onto the property to the front door of that location. That's what I liked with the first device. And that was an advantage. It's a solution to close the gap of finding the customer safely and getting them picked up in a timely fashion.
No, and that's great feedback. We certainly do hear that. However, there were some other implications with regard to outfitting the entire fleet with those tablets. And so for now, we have decided to proceed with the Garmin devices.
Will the Garmin devices do some of the similar things as the first one?
Absolutely. Did you have an opportunity to ride with one of those?
Yes. Actually, quite a few opportunities. And I was telling some of the drivers, and maybe because it's a smaller device, I said, type the, like, for instance, the name of the school that I'm at to get you to the school, Middleton Valley Elementary School. And maybe because it's smaller, it's more awkward versus the bigger tablet. Maybe you need to give them some more instructions or maybe some kind of a laminated key on card saying, hey, these are the things that you can do with this that can maybe help pinpoint and locate a customer more accurately without spending, 45 minutes, getting lost trying to find a customer. Okay, this information is part of their customer's trip. They're at this location, this hospital. Type that in as the name and then followed by the address and boom. It'll probably get you there, much better.
That is good feedback. I will tell you that a part of our pilot required daily feedback from each of the drivers that utilized the vehicle with the devices in. And we received a significant amount of feedback. What you just shared was not included among that. So thank you so much for that. And I will pass that along to our fleet maintenance officer.
Yep. Any other customers that have comments about this that are committed? Oh, Phil.
Dr. Posner, go ahead, please.
Yes, good evening. I've had a Garmin device for 10 years, and they do not update their maps on a regular basis. I have had situations in Virginia where they consistently tell me to make a left turn on my corner, which is the opposite direction of where my home address is. I have attempted to contact them via email to let them update their device. One of the reasons for a lot of the Google Maps devices being so good is they do update them on a regular basis. I have found that Garmin does not update. I would hope that since we're spending so much money and have a large enough number of devices, that part of the contract should include the ability of WMATA informing Garmin that a particular GPS location is incorrect on their device and have them fix it. No system is perfect. But if they're not going to fix it, and we all know in D.C. because the roads change on such a regular basis, they need real updates.
No, that's actually very good feedback, Dr. Parson. We had not, again, all of our feedback came from the drivers, and to date we had not received said feedback, but we will include that in our solicitation.
Thank you. That's super. Also with Wave, Wave is great if you know the area, but since a number of our drivers are from Baltimore or from out of the area, they may have some problems using Wave in the district. Just an update. I mean, it's a great system, but you really have to know where you are and where you're going. So you may give that as an option to the drivers that are local.
Okay. Just fun. All right.
All right. Any other members of the committee that have comments as it relates to this topic? Ms. Williams-Hall.
Vanessa has her hand up. Vanessa, go ahead.
Okay. So, question is, the drivers are piloting this new GPS system, is that only in their work vehicle, or would it be also beneficial to let them use it on a personal level so they can get more data in?
So right now it is just restricted to their WMATA vehicles, assigned WMATA vehicles, because this is represented staff, they're not WMATA employees, we're not at liberty to give them those devices to put in their personal vehicles for testing.
Okay. So then you're not collecting full enough data then, maybe?
Well, I'm not quite sure about that. We've had them out in service for well over a month in at least 6 vehicles every day and with different drivers. And we've received a significant amount of feedback from multiple drivers across at least 3 of the service delivery providers.
But then they can be going to the same place with the subscription trips. I mean, you're not getting a variety of possible, just like he just explained, you're not getting a good data. You cannot get enough data.
Right, it's not the same driver, Ms. Coles. Every day it's a different driver.
It's a different driver, but the locations, isn't that what they're mapping? The locations can be the same. I have a subscription. I go to work every day, same place, you know.
Right, you would, but I guess maybe I'm not following the question, because each day, a different driver on a different route utilizes the vehicle with the device. So it's not the same route being traveled every day. It's a different route every day.
But it's a Metro Access vicinity route, is what I'm saying. It's within your preview, the Metro Access preview. So you're not getting anything outside of that.
Right.
It could be some problems with updating. Maybe they're not updating their maps enough to accommodate, you know, current events, things that places you haven't been before.
Vanessa, I will say, being on a van and a sedan with this most of the summer with drivers testing these, they've been to a variety of locations, anything from something very urban to hospitals, all the way to a farm in remote places. So these things do, GPS systems do work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're being utilized across the service area. So not in any, you know, restricted areas, all across the service area.
Maryland, DC, Virginia, hospitals, homes, you know, all sorts of places I've seen them go to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
All right, if there's any other committee members that have to comment on this subject, if not, we're going to move on. We got 2 more topics to cover before customer comment period, because I want to honor that at 5:30. Next will be eligibility, and then we're going to make the announcement of our Hedgen Award and then go into customer comment period. So, Mr. Johnson, are you ready? And thank you for your call.
Oh, well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Antoine Johnson, the Eligibility Operations Manager for the Department of Access Services. I'm here to talk to you about the Metro Access eligibility process. Metro Access is a shared door-to-door paratransit service for those people who have a disability that prevents them from using bus or rail. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, our office is currently closed, so we're not conducting in-office appointments or walk-ins at this time, but customers can call us, and they do, on eligibility at 202-962-2700, option 1. You can call that number to request an application. You can speak to an eligibility specialist, but basically customers just need to complete the application with their healthcare provider. Once it's completed, they can call eligibility for a phone interview, or they can mail it in. But basically, one of the specialists will review their information and contact them. We're going to need a copy of their state ID and completed application. Like I said, once it's received, one of the specialists will reach out and speak to the customer, give them their booking instructions, et cetera.
if we need more information, those type of things. New and recertifying customers can mail in, email, or fax their applications at this time. Our fax number is 202-962-6393. Once the application,
go ahead and finish before we ask questions. I'm sorry.
Okay. Once the application and state ID is received, they'll be notified. Basically, the determination for Metro Access door-to-door service is made by the data showing the customers can't use six routes for at least one trip. So based on that information provided, some customers may need a functional assessment. So since we closed at this time, those customers that we need to do a functional assessment with, they're going to be given presumptive eligibility where they can call and set up a ride, and they can use their state ID to show the driver so they can get those rides. And then once our office, once we move into the new office, to the new building sometime early next year, we will resume face-to-face acquaintance. And then once we move, we still will do the virtual interviews when possible. I can take questions
now. So my first question was about what is the feasibility at this point as this pandemic going on of doing virtual interviews? I know we have to be careful with that because, you know, some customers may not have access to a computer, so, right, you know, they have to use the telephone. But if that is feasible for a functional assessment or interview, how does that look like, or have y'all been thought to that?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
Oh, no, just to do a virtual functional assessment or interview, have y'all given thought to it?
Well, we're not doing virtual functional assessments. We can't really do that right now, but we're doing like phone interviews. Mm-hmm. We won't be able to do a functional assessment. We have to be in person for that. So that's why we have the presumptive eligibility for those customers that we can't see at this time.
Also, with the ID showing those who are going forward, I guess there's no way they can send in a picture for an ID to be done, only because what's the communication going to be like for those customers when most drivers are asking not to show a photo ID, but to show that Metro Access ID?
That is something that I could note to speak with management to see what they would like to do in that situation. Maybe it's Mr. Colbert here today, Chris Colbert. But as far as right now, they can use the state ID to show the driver. Hopefully we'll be, you know, next couple months we'll be moving. So, and we are able to print IDs for those that need to get the DAR approved or need replacements.
All right, Ms. Coles, you have a question related to this topic?
Vanessa, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Alert, audio now muted.
I'm sorry, thank you. So that was kind of my same question I was gonna ask about replacement cards and getting replacement cards. So like he's already answered that. Thank you.
All right. Doris?
I was just wondering, I know that eligibility for Metro Access, as I understand it, is also partly conditioned on your being within the ADA service area. So I asked this on behalf of like our consumers who are in places in Fairfax County, for example, where they're beyond the 3/4 mile and overlapping bus routes are not a consideration. So in this current time, are we taking, or is that an element in the eligibility process right now? And, as we change things back to more shared ride and all that stuff, it will continue to be an element because I'm asking partly because we have a lot of younger people coming online, you know, reaching adulthood and living perhaps in their parents' houses or family with family, and as the ADA measurement relates to where they're living, that some of these people have been limited from using Metro Access because there isn't a straight line to walk to the bus stop between where they are and where their house is and the bus stop that's within 3/4 of a mile. So even though actually if you drew a straight line, they are within 3/4 of a mile. So anyway, all of those details, I'm wondering whether that's being taken into account right now as an eligibility issue.
Well, we do take that into account, and then we try to work with the customer to see if they maybe have a family member that's closer in the line that they could use that address or another alternate address, so that way we can get them to use the service.
But let me just be clear though on something, because I heard two different questions there from Doris. Okay. Let's use my mother as an example. My mother lives in Miami, Florida. My mother can come up here, apply for Metro Access, and actually be qualified if she demonstrates that she has a disability that prevents her from using bus or rail for at least some of her trips. Now, obviously, we're not going to send a Metro Access vehicle to Miami to pick her up. So your place of residence does not in any way, shape, or form determine your eligibility for paratransit in the Washington, D.C. area on Metro Access. However, even if you're found eligible for Metro Access, you still have to be within 3/4 of a mile for a vehicle to pick you up. So if your question, Doris, is have we somehow extended grandfathering or extended the service area to a customer based on the pandemic or anything like that, the answer is no. You still have to be within the Metro Access service area for us to pick you up. But regardless of where you live, on a regular basis, Miami, Florida, or Washington, D.C., that has no bearing on your qualification for Metro Access.
Which is okay. That's, I wasn't asking about the pandemic, but that's a thought too. But I was asking about whether it was an eligibility issue, and then I realized that what I'm talking about is you have to be within the 3/4 of a mile, not for eligibility, but for whether your trip is going to be accepted or denied, correct? Did I put it the right way?
Yeah.
That is correct this okay. time. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to pull a fast one on me.
Yeah. I'm not sure that the customers are understanding that, because we've had some customers who have gone to their state legislators and said, you know, they're not allowing me to be eligible because I'm not, even though my house is within 3/4 of a mile, or if the house is where I'm coming from, my origin, right, or destination, whatever it is, if it's within 3/4 of a mile, but I have to walk longer than 3/4 of a mile to stay on a sidewalk to get to a bus stop, then I would not be considered eligible for that trip. And that is really problematic, I think. In other words, what they're saying is if they have, even though the straight line may not be on a sidewalk, it might be a straight line to a bus on, say, Route 50, but in order to walk there, it's going to be over. It'll be a mile because I have to walk around on a sidewalk. So I'm wondering if we're dealing with that issue you know, the way that the 3/4 mile is defined. You know what I'm talking about, Mr. Blake, right?
I believe I do, but yeah, that's a case by case basis. But if your home is within 3/4 of a mile, we can pick you up from your home. I would make it that
whether
simple.
whether you can walk that 3/4 of a mile, but have to walk longer to get to a bus stop.
No, if your home is within 3/4 of fixed route service, we can pick you up from your home. No walking required.
Even if you had to go through somebody else's backyard. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I haven't seen that case. Okay. We'll look at it.
So, there's no one else for this particular topic that's on our committee. I would like to move on to announcements for the Heads Award with the new. Yes?
This is Anna. I see Vanessa has put her hand up again. Vanessa, do you have a follow-up?
Yes.
Sorry.
It was to AJ. The courtesy was extended to, because of COVID, for those that were denied, they were given access to Metro Access. Has that courtesy still extended or has it been lifted?
We're not denying anyone. Anybody can apply for Metro Access code.
Okay.
But we haven't denied anyone since we've been closed for the past 18 months. So that time is went past, so they could reapply.
Thank you.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. There's a guy that's been having his hand up for the longest time, and I was wondering why.
Mr. Mangrum, as I've announced before, Mr. Mangrum, committee members are allowed to speak because we discussed this at the AAC level. People who are members of the public can comment during public comment period.
Oh, he's a member of the
very shortly. Okay. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
All right, so next we're going to, Denise, you can help me out with the announcement or new about the Hedinger Award when applications are due.
Anu was going to announce it, I thought.
Okay, go ahead, Anu.
All right, I'll do that. So as discussed in prior AAC meeting, today is the last day to submit your nominations for the Hedinger Award. I have received a couple of them so far, but if any of the AAC members would like to submit their nominations for the 2021 Hedinger Award, please do so today. And there would be a discussion and vote about that in our next AAC meeting, which is going to be on Monday, November 1st. Thank you.
So with that, can you start off with public commentary with the people who are the order of people who want to speak?
Sure. So Chair Simon Ford, I have three people to make public comments so far, and I would go in the order. And before I start the order, I would just remind that every person speaking would have 3 minutes. At 2 minutes, 30-second mark, I would announce 30 seconds. That means that you have remaining 30 seconds in your time. And at the end of 30 seconds, you would hear a sound, which you probably have heard so far a few times. That would mean that your 3 minutes is up. And at that point, we may even have to mute your speaker. So please be mindful of the time. And the practice is just to make sure that all the members who are here to make comments do get an opportunity to do so. If there is time remaining, we'll be happy to come back to you and take more questions. All right, so in the order, we got the public comments notification is LG Stylo 6, followed by Jay Forbes, and then Bill Orleans. So LG Stylo, go ahead and unmute yourself and make your comments.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. My name is Huff. My concern was actually that the starting up of the regular service, again, picking up multiple people. And again, being that the COVID has not necessarily been announced as being over, I was a bit concerned about that because I'm just going to speak on myself personally, that because I have an ailment where my doctors told me never to find myself in a place where I'm among a group of people for any long periods of time, that I should be concerned about that. And so I was just really kind of concerned about that, once again, going back to the shared ride thing. But also regarding the taxi service. Now, I've had the experience of riding the taxi for most part of the summer. And when they do show up, it was a great thing. My thing is that you're giving people 10 one-way rides or 5 round trips. Well, I don't think that's really fair because, you know, you have situations where, let's say, for example, the other day, I had to go to my doctor's office and I booked the transit, the van, and I thought I would be done at 4 o'clock, but the doctor was running late. Therefore, I called to ask them if they could move it up an hour. And they said, well, unfortunately, we won't have anything available to 6 p.m. And I'm like, really? I'm going to have to stay out here for 6? And I was getting dental work done. And naturally, I would be in pain waiting that long. And so, you know, I was just wondering, is that firm that they're only going to give you 10 one-way rides? Or is that depending on case-to-case basis?
Okay, so we're talking a couple of different things now. The 10, are you a DC resident, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so yeah, you're talking about Transport DC, which is the purview and management of the District of Columbia government. Hmm. Metro has its own sort of taxi program. We're calling it Abilities Ride, but in that program, the customer doesn't have the ability, no pun intended, to call the taxi company directly. You enroll in the program, and then we may move your trip to a taxi during the scheduling process. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you may get a free trip in that regard. You could always ask Metro Access to move a trip time. We don't guarantee it. We try the best we can because we do have to accommodate all the other customers. But mm-hmm. between moving a Metro Access trip on another Metro Access vehicle or moving it to a taxi or a wheelchair accessible taxi, we will try our best on the same day to accommodate all customers' needs as you just described. But the concern about the 10 trips in DC, that's a DC government entity that manages that program, not Metro or Metro Access. And then I hear your concerns about the shared rides, but again, this is a shared ride program. And we have thousands of customers using the service each day. We have a responsibility to manage those resources in a reasonable form and fashion in public transportation. While nobody has declared the pandemic over or COVID-19 is over, I don't know if anybody's ever going to do that, quite frankly. I don't even know if we'll ever get to that point. But if you look at the local leadership as well as the national leadership, when it comes to public transportation, shared rides are allowed along with enforcement, strict enforcement of the mask mandate. And again, as I mentioned earlier, people with disabilities are engaged in a lot of things now. We're getting back to normal, and public transportation is just one of those things we're getting back to normal.
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand that. But, you know, the only thing you mentioned, like the mayor and this, that, and the other. Well, when you talk about the mayor and other government officials, they're not riding the van.
Perhaps not. Maybe not.
Pretty much sure they're not.
Okay, pretty much.
Sure. 30 seconds.
Okay, one quick question then. Let's say if I really need to have a car, as opposed to the van, can I request that, or will I get blown off in the operator will say, well, no, this is only, you know, case to case, whatever, like that, and just say, we can't do it.
No, we're becoming an accommodating transit service as much as we can. So we encourage customers to request everything they would like. You want a car, you want to ride in a sedan, ask for it. What I don't say, though, is I guarantee anything. Okay. The only thing I guarantee you is that you're going to have a trip. We're not going to deny anybody any trip. But if you want to be in a car, ask for it. If you want to be in a cab, ask for it. If you want to be on Uber, ask for it. And we're going to do our best to accommodate what it is that you wish to have. If you want to be in a very large van, there's some customers who only want to be in the biggest vans, ask for it. And all I can tell you is that as a team, our job is to do the best we can to accommodate your wishes, but we don't make any promises or guarantees that we're going to accommodate every single wish because we are a shared ride public transit service.
Fair enough. Thank you for that. So if I want to get a pizza with my ride, can I ask for it?
Ask for it. But we'll order the pizza, but you'll pay the bill.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lou. Next person.
Okay, so the next person is Jay Forbes.
Had to take a minute to unmute. I apologize.
No worries.
A couple things. So I am severely immune compromised. I have 2 transplanted organs and it scares me to death to go on Metro Access. I need to because of dentist visits and doctor visits, but thankfully my physician has made it so that I can work from home until December. Even still, I'm still required by my physician to be cautious about being indoors, whether indoor a vehicle or indoor someplace like a supermarket. He just really cautions me not to be in any enclosed space for more than 15 minutes. And we all know Metro Access rides are longer than 15 minutes. So it concerns me to be in a vehicle. I work in Virginia. I live in Laurel. So that's quite a distance when I go back to work in January that I'm anticipating having to sit through with at least 2 stops, because usually after I get picked up, there's one more person. One person's usually on the van and we stop and pick up a third person. And so it takes every bit of 3 hours. In a van that I can't open to get fresh ventilation. It's very concerning to me, is all that I'm saying. And I know places have opened, movie theaters have opened. Well, movie theaters are quite a bit larger than the Metro Access van. Baseball stadiums are open, I know, but it's outdoors and it's quite larger than a Metro Access van. Even riding in the sedan, I was uncomfortable with until I rolled down my window all the way. So I want to keep my organs. I went through a lot to get them. And I've gotten my booster shot. And if I have to get 5 booster shots, I'll do that. But I just would appreciate, you know, some concern, some consideration for patients such as myself who have to use your service. Dialysis patients, I understand it's another special care population for you guys. But I'm just requesting that you guys think about, I mean, I'll ask my doctor to fill out a special request for you guys, but it just pains me to think that, you know, this could all be in danger. My final question is, I learned very recently that the Abilities Ride service is no longer available through Silver Cab in Prince George's County.
Okay, so let me respond to both. We are absolutely have the concern and the safety of our customers and drivers at the top of our agenda. This is one of the reasons why, again, as I pointed out earlier, we're one of the last transit agencies to go back to shared ride service. And people who happen not to qualify for Metro Access have been using shared ride services for a good little bit of time now. We believe we're taking precautions on the vans. We are, unlike the sedans that have a personal window, but we are encouraging drivers to roll down their windows on the vans as well. We do believe in ventilation. That is our primary added defense in addition to the mask. So unfortunately, fortunately, depending on your perspective of it, Metro Access is public transportation. And that's really where we are. And we're sharing rides because this is a shared ride public transportation service. In terms of abilities ride and the Silver Cab and the Regency and the others, those services are available. You have to enroll in the program, but the difference in the program now is that instead of a customer being able to contact the cab companies directly, the customer enrolls in the program, gives Metro Access permission to move one or more of your trips to a taxi or an Uber. And if we move your trip to a taxi or Uber, that trip will be free of charge. But but Metro and our scheduling and the management, we have control over the trips that are moved. The customer does not contact the companies directly. So depending on the time you travel, I won't guarantee every trip. As I said to the last guest of our meeting, I don't guarantee anything other than you will have a safe trip to and from your destination. But I can tell you, if you enroll in the program, as ridership picks up, especially if you work in the morning, you may see some of your trips transferred to a taxi or Uber. And even that's not necessarily a guarantee that you'll be in a direct trip, but that's more likely. So we encourage people to sign up for the Abilities Ride program, but it's different than the way it was before. That is correct.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Blake. Bill Oriens, you're next. I don't believe I'm seeing Bill Oriens anymore on this call any longer.
All right.
Okay, so Chair Samuelford, I see Tino Calabia has his hand up. Tino, go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you, Anu. Christian Blake may remember that I sent him an article regarding how to try and keep one safe in a motor vehicle, particularly in a four-door taxi cab-like vehicle. I don't know whatever became of it. I had hoped that maybe the companies that are in affiliation with us or on contract with us would have advised the drivers about how to manage safety for passengers that they're driving. In any event, Ms. Forbes, if you will provide me your email address, I will send you what I shared with Mr. Blake. Happy to do that.
Okay. And I will tell you, Tino, just to show you that, okay, maybe I didn't come back to the committee and talk about it or even reach out to you, but I thank you for that. Because at the time you gave it to me, I was listening to one set of beliefs in science, and that helped change my perspective. I actually got in touch with the scientist who's quoted in the article. He and I had a series of very, very long discussions, and it became the center of our additional beyond the mask precautions. And we've encouraged our drivers of those sedans since then to open up all four windows. Unless a customer says that there's too much wind coming back, then we open up the diagonal windows, the opposite of the driver and the window behind the driver. And that article has been made into posters that I have asked our team to send out and have them place on bases, all of our bases, so that the drivers can see it. Because I was somewhat disappointed that not all of our contractors vigorously enforced the message of that article and the discussion we had. We had some very rather energetic discussions, let me tell you. We were focused in one direction. And I said, based on the science and discussing this directly with the scientists, and it was the gentleman in the article from Mass Amherst, I believe, and that's become the basis of our ventilation strategy of protecting drivers and customers. So I thank you for that, and we have been utilizing it, and that's become a practice that's been endorsed through the highest ranks of this agency, as well as external stakeholders in the health and protection field.
Oh, well, thank you, Christian. I really appreciate what you've done. I don't know if Ms. Forbes is still on, but if she would like, I could send her a copy of it. But thank you for telling me, Christian. I really appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Thank you for sharing the article with me.
Sure.
Ma'am, what's your name?
Talking to me?
No, the lady that has the article, I'd like to send her my email.
Ms. Forbes, no. That's Mr. Tino Calabia.
Yeah, Ms. Forbes, can you give me your email now quickly?
I can put it in the chat.
Okay, good enough.
Okay.
Chair Samaport, this is Zenu.
Thank you.
Ms. Forbes has put her hand up again, and then Ms. Rush. Ms. Forbes, did you have any other additional comments?
No, I just wanted to make yes, I do have an additional comment. Abilities Ride has changed to where you cannot, as a consumer, access services. It's all controlled and directed and dispatched through Metro Access. So it's no longer serving its original purpose for last minute trips, emergency trips to the dentist and things like that. So we are where we were 2 years ago before Abilities Ride. Unable to access last minute service.
Okay, so let me just, I appreciate the way you classified its original purpose. I can tell you, as a person who created Abilities Ride and as a person who created Transport DC, same day service was a benefit and it was something we offered that wasn't the purpose of the creation. So in fact, it is serving its original purpose, which is to offer an alternative to Metro Access. And Metro Access, as you know, must be booked the day ahead of time. And the way we're doing it now is actually in response to the overwhelming number of customers I get. I talk to hundreds of customers a day, especially during times like this when we have some change going on. Customers are calling me because if you look on the web, the number that is there to call is actually my personal cell phone. And there's another customer calling me right now. We'll deal with them later. My point to you though is over time, what I've heard the vast majority of customers I've heard from is that same day service wasn't as essential to them as their price sensitivity to Metro Access service. So in looking at ways to modify the Abilities Ride program, I did it in a way that still creates an alternative to Metro Access, but now with the free trip, is giving thousands of customers each month some economic relief. And now, as you see, if you look around the news now, a lot of fixed route services, free trips and discounted trips are du jour now. Well, we were doing that even before the pandemic because we listened to the customers. So I appreciate your point that you utilized it on the same day on some occasions and last minute trips. And that was a benefit we offered to encourage customers to use the service. However, that was not the original intent of the program. The original intent was always to create an alternative to Metro Access, and now we're doing so in a way that also provides customers some economic relief.
Well, yeah, on my birthday, unfortunately, I had a trip that was 2 hours late, and they ended up sending an Uber for me. So I appreciate, you know, the expediency with sending something quicker than, you know, rerouting another van. It was just, I guess, it was disappointing to me that because I hear Metro Access isn't back up to full capacity, that even with diminished capacity, you know, my trip going back home was 2 hours late.
Well, now that's another story, and I've been on my I've been on my colleague's case about that. Well, they're not my colleagues, they're my contractors. I've been on their case about this. I won't get too far, but yes, in terms of a trip by trip purpose, overall our on time performance is good, but it's not as good as I want it to be or expected to be, precisely because of the point you said. With ridership down, I want 99% on time performance. Okay, maybe that's a little excessive, but
well, it's even my fault for not picking up the clue, because the guy couldn't use the ranger went out on his vehicle and he couldn't find the restaurant, so we had to give him directions to get to the restaurant. So that was my first clue that things were not going to go well on the return trip. So,
and what I would just advise, as I was talking to the gentleman on the cell phone. So again, we don't want any, but even if we're at 99% on time performance, there's going to be somebody whose trip was late that day and could be a very inconveniencing circumstance. So for that, you know, we don't want that. We don't want that. We don't wake up, you know, any particular day and say, oh, we're going to let Ms. Forbes' trip be late today. We'll catch up with her tomorrow. You know, that's
and
not
on
the way.
Her birthday.
Yeah, on your birthday at that. Yeah, we don't want that. But I will tell you, as you heard me say earlier, we're an accommodating business now. I want customers to tell me when they want a cab, when they want an Uber. Won't promise you anything, but we're going to try to accommodate you because now we've made these resources available. If you ever find yourself in a situation where your pickup window has gone past and you're before you get too frustrated, please just call the Metro Access and ask, can they put you on another vehicle if the Metro Access vehicle is just going to be late because it's lost for whatever reason. I would rather you get in a cab or an Uber at your own request than waiting for 2 hours for the vehicle to be late and then you get frustrated, especially on your birthday. So this is for all customers. We're in the accommodation business and we want to try to accommodate you because we've made to our call center contractor the availability of a number of resources, not only extra Metro Access vehicles on the street, but all these other third-party vehicles as well.
Okay, well, thank you. They don't tell you it's 2 hours, they tell you it's 10 minutes and then call back and then it's another 10 minutes. So by the end of it all.
It's 2 hours, I get you.
It's 2 hours. But thank you for your response, I appreciate it. Yes,
thank you so much. Ms. Rush, you're next.
Unfortunately, we had an accident with Metro Rail last week. Has it affected the business with Metro Access? Has there been an increase of calls for rides? And since they are removing the trains, should we expect an increase for maybe a week or so?
That's a very good question. Didn't see a whole lot today. Again, through our planning, as we've been talking about planning, you've been hearing me talk about planning a lot. I've actually planned for more ridership than we currently have. And on a good day, when all the drivers come to work, and we love our drivers, I heard one driver, we had 97% OTP. That's what we're talking about. That's what I like to hear. But if all of our drivers come to work on the day and they stay that whole day, we should have way more than enough vehicles and drivers on the street to accommodate even a slight increase in ridership due to the unfortunate incident on the Blue Line that occurred last week. And I heard that the trains that you're referring to, the 7000 series, are going to be out of service for the remainder of the week. So who knows what may happen tomorrow? Well, less so tomorrow. I didn't see a big increase at 4:30 tomorrow, but Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, there may be. However, we should have more than enough resources just on Metro Access. But in addition to the customers who've signed up for Abilities Ride, we can offer them some free trips to keep the, you know, keep the service spread out greatly. So let me put it this way: if you're traveling this week, Ms. Rush, and we, you know, I always look after your trips. No, I shouldn't say that because that's when people think that's special treatment, and I don't treat nobody special. But I hope none of your trips are late, and it shouldn't be. Even if anybody has a late trip this week, you're not going to find Metro Access Management blaming the Blue Line, because that's not an excuse given the amount of resources we've planned to have on the service at this time.
All right, I see there are links here.
Yeah, I think Ms. Rush had a follow-up question.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Ms. Rush, but after that will be girl links.
Okay, also, can you share how many drivers or contracting people we have lost to the virus?
Now, when you say we have lost, I want to be very careful. Well, are you talking about people who quit or unfortunately passed away?
They passed away. They're in the hospital.
And forgive me if I'm mistaken, and I'm sure I can be corrected. I know there's somebody in the call center, but I don't remember any driver. I really don't. I'm not sure. Has there been some drivers who have later tested positive for COVID-19? Yeah, there have been drivers, and that number is probably in the 30 to 40s. It's come way down in terms of frequency as the pandemic has gone on. But in any case that a driver reported being positive for COVID-19, that driver was immediately removed from service, and there was contact tracing for all passengers who had been in contact with that driver in the previous 14 days.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Buildings, you're up for a customer comment. You weren't there at the time, but we'll take your comment right now. Go ahead.
I was on earlier and had to leave, but while I was on earlier, I heard Mr. Blake say that, of course, it has to be that Metro provides shared rides on Metro Access. And I'd like to remind him and the committee that it doesn't have to be that way. It's Metro's choice to do it that way. So whenever Mr. Blake says again that it has to be done that way, someone else besides myself should correct him and remind him that it's Metro's board's choice to do it that way. Thank you very much.
Right. No, and Bill is correct. Now, just for clarification, I don't think I said it has to be, because let's face it, as I pointed out, we're one of the last agencies to actually return a shared ride service. So no, it doesn't have to be. And if something were to change our minds between now and November 1st, we reserve the liberty to extend direct trips. So Bill, your point about Metro choosing to engage in shared ride service or not is correct. I don't know if I said we have to. I don't think I would use that term given my appreciation of the ADA, but his point is right. We have at liberty, as others have pointed out, Metro can charge up to twice the fastest fixed route fare. We don't have to charge up to twice. So yes, there is, the ADA has granted transit authorities flexibility to go above and beyond the minimums or the maximums, depending on which side is beneficial to the customer.
Thank you so much.
Chair Samalport, this is Zenu. I see LG Stylo 6 has his hand up again.
Okay, go ahead.
You would need to unmute yourself. You need to unmute yourself, sir.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was muted. I just wanted to get the gentleman's name who was speaking, and what is his position?
If you're referring to me, sir?
Yes.
Okay, yes, my name is Christian Blake.
Okay.
And I'm the managing director of the Department of Access Services.
Okay, how does one reach you?
You can call me at 202-281-8984. But as I tell all customers, you just need to call once and leave a message. Calling 3 and 4 and 5 times in a row is not going to get me to answer quicker. Just call me once and leave a message if I don't answer right away.
No, I wouldn't do that unless my piece is late.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you.
Yes.
right. I guess can we? It's 6 minutes of. Unless there's any other burning issue, can do we get a motion for adjournment?
Chair Samuelford, before you make the motion, if I may just make my announcement for public comments, please.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So, any member of the public, if they would like to make any submit their public comments, they can do so via email at metroaacchair@vamada.com or leave a message at the following phone number, which is 202-962-1100. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 All right, we are adjourned.